September 20th, 2023, 7 p.m., Wasatch County Services Building Conference Room B. So we'll begin the meeting with number one. Do we have any public comments? Okay, here's not. So, item two, Town of Daniel Code Change Recommendations. That is back to what Mary had last time. And any others, and I could not find the stuff I was looking for. If there's one that says the mayor shall not serve as clerk or mayor. I think we ought to fix that one at some point, but I couldn't find it again.
It's 313. Is the ordinances for
313 license assessor collector? Oh, that's notices.
If we had anything else that we wanted to change before we send it.
Well, one thing that's in your packet is a water conservancy ordinance that will have to be adopted, just so you can look at it prior to that, for us to be eligible for any grants from Water Smart or the feds. So Eric provided me with that. It's kind of towards the end, sorry. But you can look at that. It's bluish. So if you want to look at, yeah. So we'll have to form an ordinance from that, but because this is land use, then obviously Planning Commission needs to be part of that discussion as well. Eric, do you want to speak to that while you're looking
at? So, the town's talked about applying for a grant for Storm Haven, so we're in the middle of several grants.
Yeah.
We are not eligible for these grants unless we have an ordinance in place. That's why that's there, that for conservation. So the ordinance has to be in place for us to qualify. It's just a qualifying. We looked at this earlier and the council decided not to do it earlier. I believe it was in January we looked at it. And they elected not to do that, but now they're looking at a grant. For the grant to be eligible, we have to have this in place.
What was the rationale of why they didn't do it the first time?
Because it really has to do a lot with the smaller lots and agricultural. They didn't build this for 5-acre lots. We have a different kind of a thing. It's just like the water, the animal control. They want us to adopt their animal control in the county. It says you can't have roosters and you can have 20 chickens or 10. It just doesn't apply where we're at. And so that's what happens here is the overreach that they see as overreach, I believe the council does, doesn't really apply for what we have in our... we're not flipping the strip. We don't have any strips. We don't have curb and gutter in the towns. We're not doing that kind of stuff.
So is this a recommendation on how the code would be written?
Or? Yes, those are the components that would need to be in that.
It seems to me like you could write the code to apply only to the building lot portion of the agricultural piece. The county's already separating out tax purposes.
Yeah, and I think we can do that. And the reason that it has Central Utah Water on it is because they are administrating the grants. So that's how come they sent that out for us to adopt, and that went to every city. If you apply for the BRIC grant, this applies. One of those check boxes before they'll even let you apply.
Are we allowed to change the wording?
Yes. Yeah, this is just a template. This is what it has to have in it. So absolutely.
So do we need to write something up and have a public hearing then on adopting it?
Yes. That's the council's direction that we got back from the council to bring it here.
Okay.
Because if we don't do anything, then we won't be eligible for the grant. We can save a lot of late work.
Mm. Yeah,
we would like to have the grant, so we need to do what we can to get our best feet forward.
Yeah, and the grants right now, what we're looking at is a 90% grant. So that's pretty...
Pretty good.
That's a really good...
So who would write this? Town attorneys?
The what? The code?
Ordinance.
We would have to write the ordinance, and it would go to the town. The council would hold a public hearing, put in their changes, and it would go to the attorneys for language that they can defend in court.
Who's we? Is that you?
That's you. We. Any commission.
Is there any type of schedule on this?
Well, wouldn't we want to discuss this in the...
We would probably want this ready to go in November for the council to be...
Yeah, so it's already been... I already had a motion to hold a public hearing for all of these issues in the October meeting. So it should be ready for discussion in the October meeting. And then the recommendations for wording or what you want in the ordinances. I don't think they don't have to actually write the ordinances, but the verbiage that you would like in there, I could bring a draft ordinance to see what you think about that. And then that recommendation goes to the town council in November, and there's a public hearing for all of that in November for all the code changes.
So we've got a public hearing for October and November.
Yes. Here in October, there in town council in November.
Oh, okay. Why do we need two?
Well, just because it...
State law requires that.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Here you go.
The council has to vote.
Is that what we can defend? That one we can defend. Title 54.
God, you will. Okay. That answers the question. Thank you.
Just doesn't seem like a very effective boilerplate.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it's...
But we'll change it.
We'll change it to Fed.
What are they asking us to do?
What's the purpose? What's their purpose?
They want conservancy. I understand the big picture.
So that's what the state's saying. Your grants have to comply with conservation effort in the state. The Great Salt Lake, you've seen it all in the news. This is a big thing. That's what they've applied all the grants to. They want the conservation so that that extra water is going to the Great Salt Lake.
Now, will this apply to the whole town or just to Stormhaven?
It will apply to the whole town.
Is that...
So this isn't just writing a new standard. This is going back into the code and updating what's already there.
It just tells them we're going to conserve water.
Reflect this, right?
We're trying to conserve water.
Does this only...
Probably more work than...
Is this only less than 5-acre lots?
No.
Or it's all...
This will be the entire town.
And do we have a code now that applies to this a little bit?
A little bit. Our code says if you have a landscaped area in your house, in your property, that you have to have enough water. We look at that when they turn in to irrigate that property.
All right.
And any property that's been historically irrigated, we make them have those water rights. So we don't have vacant land at the time of a building permit. Now they can sell that the day after. We could be without water, and it has happened. But at the time of the building permit, that's a requirement that we make them go.
Have enough water to...
To do what they say they want to do.
Okay. It's a lot more specific in the commercial zones, which I think this also would apply to.
Yeah. And the commercial zones, we've tried to protect. You guys have probably heard a little bit of the noise going on that we make them turn that water over to the town.
Right. But so there's...
When the developer sells, we still have that
if
water.
If I remember right, there's stuff about vegetation and the amount of landscaped area. And
there's a landscape plan.
We'd have to go through that whole thing and update it for the changes that this would require.
Yeah, because our landscape stuff may require more water usage than the conservancy people appreciate.
Yeah, well, I think most of the coverage on it is it 20% on the landscape? So we're really down on the numbers in commercial zones. The houses have more.
But it's still
so landscape.
Irrigation,
irrigation?
It only applies
landscape
for
irrigation, yeah.
Building from now on, right? It's not
retroactive. Yeah, it won't go retroactive unless they upgrade it. Yeah, it won't go back. I mean, right now, it's a huge thing. This Flip Your Strip is a big deal. Heber City, you see signs all over. They're ripping the grass out between the curb and the sidewalk. I mean,
roads too.
Yeah, that too. For years, if you couldn't put cobblestone in that strip, and now they encourage it. So I mean, we see a whole bunch of changes. The sewer treatment plants, don't put it back in the river. You can't put it in the lake. Now it's mandatory if you build a sewer plant, it goes in the lake. You can't use it. It has to go back into the water. So those things just evolve as the state issues come up, so. And that's all this is. This is just a precursor to the grant. We can write that how we want. I imagine the lawyers will determine if that complies with what the requirements that they want.
So I'm just looking at it, and it's, I mean, it's saying 35% of your landscape area is the max of your lawn, your grass then. On some of these, I mean, even an acre parcel, I'm guessing there are a lot of people that have much more than that and would want much more than that, and we're saying you can't do it now, according to this?
Yeah, on your new
conservation.
And we have, you know, even taking Storm Haven, as an example, there's a ton of people up there that don't have any irrigation, and they're watering, and we have bills that are $500 a month.
Yeah.
Using a ton of water. Well, that system was...
I can relate to that, Eric.
Well, that system was never designed for outside irrigation.
Sure.
And so that's what they're trying to get away from, is using the resources unwisely.
Yeah, but this doesn't say anything to that of, like, so I want to do it at my, you know, say my lot is a new one where I live. I'm going to use irrigation water. Does this not apply to me then? Or it still applies to me of I still can't put more than 35% of mine as a lawn?
Well, I think the 35% of your 5 acres is pretty big. The rest is in agricultural production. So that wouldn't count at all.
So a different 35% term.
35% of what's been defined as residential.
So yeah, your lot.
Put your horse out there.
I mean,
that's my 1 acre piece that the county calls it, or what? Like, how do you define that, I guess? Because that's what I'm...
The lot is defined as your 5 acre lot in RA5 zone. So, I mean, 35% of that's huge. That's more than you want to mow.
I'm mowing 2 acres right now.
A big yard.
Yeah.
That's soccer field for the kids.
Yep. We've built a couple of them.
And the tree hut, clear up in the tree.
Yeah. Okay.
That qualifies. It's off the ground. I mean, if that's something we don't want to do, that's why it's here.
I'm just trying to understand that we're not going to start limiting somebody on, hey, you can't have that much grass in your yard, like.
No, and I think a lot of the standard talks about the use, so the usable lawn. And so it's just not lawn in general. They want to know how much you use. Do you have a front yard you never use? Why do you have lawn there?
I have a side yard I never use, but I don't know what else to put there besides grass.
Right, and so that's what they want you to look at.
Something else.
Is it 8 feet wide?
That's probably solid 16.
Okay. I mean, if the only time you ever get on the lawn is to mow it,
it's going
to
be...
You're probably old. Get off the grass!
This seems very nitpicky. It's not where we live.
Yeah. Right, and that's the whole problem with this, is it's just designed along the front, all mag, developed that whole thing.
HOA feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the stuff just doesn't apply to us up here.
So how close do we have to get, it seems like a start from scratch potential make work exercise, how close to what's
what is required in this to get for our grant purposes?
Well, I mean, if you go through that park trip, we don't have a park trip.
I'm just saying,
your
somebody's
path,
gonna have to go through existing code and change it to reflect this stuff.
Yeah, what do you, off the top of your head, Eric, you know what the existing code, what number it is?
Well, if you're talking about commercial landscape.
Or residential, probably.
The supplemental standards, it'd be 821.
821.
I believe. Outdoor storage, waste.
So we have to go through each
821.10.
How big are these grants we're trying to get by fitting all this?
$6 million. Does that help?
Just trying to understand how important it is to fit this.
$6 million.
It's 2 pages.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, just trying to understand. $10,000 grant, and maybe I don't want to have to
tweak
all this crap. But.
And I think that's what the council looked at when it was submitted before. It's just like,
so how far?
This doesn't fill, yeah.
So, and then all of a sudden, here's the county saying, hey, we got some grants available. And, yeah. We think we can get you 90% and maybe away 5% of the 10%. So
do we need to do it?
Yeah, if you have to come up with $600,000 to get $6 million, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
even a home.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, can we simply change these numbers? 35%.
Probably can't make them any bigger, right?
I think this is their requirement.
This is the minimum that they're saying we have to do, right?
Yeah, well, I think this is more of just what they want to see in your ordinance. They want you to spell it out.
So they want to have maybe outdoor landscaping standard, blah, definition, blah.
Yeah, and I think that like launch log not exceed 35% of the total landscape area. So they want you to have flower beds or whatever else, it's just not a big lawn.
But they won't let us change out to 50% and still qualify and meet all of it, right?
I don't think anybody would read it, to be honest with you.
That's what I want to get, okay.
You can put 50%, see what happens.
Somebody will.
Well, I mean, is there a requirement? That's what they're saying, or just we need to have a standard of any sort?
Yeah, I think if you just have a standard, that's what they want you to look at and be aware of it. This is what we're doing.
Okay.
So I don't think they're holding you to any number.
Okay.
In fact, we, at the Central Utah Water, they have a person that'll come out and help us write it if you want. But again, you have somebody that's, it's like every time we have MAG up here, they're just don't realize what we do. It's not the normal thing. Where's Main Street? Well.
So in our section 821.10, it says general landscape standards. Maybe we could incorporate some of these things in that section to meet their goal so that we might be more likely to get a grant?
See, the landscape standards set in this are minimum requirement and do not apply to residential developments. We don't have a landscape standard, according to this, for residential development.
But it sounds like we need one.
Yeah.
That's what they're asking for.
Yep. Each zone can set forth additional standards that apply in that zone. Both requirements of this section, as well as more specific section, shall be required. In the event of conflict, one or more section, this section shall apply. So the site plan is, we have that on the site plan.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have them designate
size and number of plants.
They want to have, but I mean, and we have people look, Darwin McGuire for years. I mean, now.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we have
still.
And mm-hmm. What's his face that just passed away up in Storm Haven on Crazy Acres Road?
Leverty.
Joking.
I forget his name. He always sat back there, a little beanie on his hat. Drove the bullet bike, the old guys. Forget his name. Anyway, he did his whole lawn, everything was all lawn. It's got pine trees in there, but retired and got the riding lawn. That's what they wanted.
Curtis,
a lot of grass. I got a lot of grass.
Okay, so the big question is logistics on this one.
Constantly.
Because it seems like we would need this in another meeting. Discuss it, approve the recommendation, then hold the public hearing.
Do you want a work session?
All in the same meeting.
I'm not sure we can do it all in the same meeting. You could have a work session and then the public hearing.
Or you could just write it and bounce it around off email till you get close.
Okay.
Wants to write it. I mean, if you don't want to have a meeting, you can have a meeting if you want. The council's just asked us to look at this and put something together because they're going for the grant. Looks like full bore ahead right now, we'll see.
So a lot of these definitions.
The nice thing as it's written, it's just all new kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you can go back and retroactively enforce this on somebody else.
So this is not going to affect very much at all, anyway.
So we're about 50% built out, I believe. You know what you guys figured with the maps?
It would be subject to someone complaining to you as well.
What's
in terms
that?
Of violation?
Yeah. Well, they could complain, but the council would have to take action.
Right.
Yeah.
But their building permit wouldn't be approved. A new one.
For?
Without the landscaping plan?
Yeah.
They should change it later.
Yeah. Change it the second they get the
permit. What's really egregious in here to people?
I don't think.
When I look at it, I don't see anything that's
I think it's just the egregious part is the state's telling us
what to do.
And that's, of course, always.
We don't have to worry about park strips because we don't have.
Right, so yeah.
How many pieces of landscape stuff, 35%?
I don't care, copy and paste the thing.
That allows them to have a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
I don't know what mine would be, it's probably close to that.
But again, it's only for new construction.
Yeah.
But just replace the lawn with thistles.
Well, I'm a circle drive in the last days, but.
Looks so much nicer too.
Is this all there is to this standard?
Yeah.
Because there's a ton of definitions here that aren't referenced anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, it's just information to help you write yours. Every time you write a thing, then you have to define what it is, and then the lawyers define it another way. That's how it all goes.
So this would only apply to new build?
Yes.
Yes.
I would change the.
I mean, how many of you guys got drip irrigation systems on your place? There you go. A is drip irrigation. I think most people comply with that because they don't want to spray all the, because we know what you get if you spray, if you're just trying to grow something on the drip line.
I could afford to drip irrigate my alfalfa, I would.
Oh geez.
Me too.
Don't make a start. You don't get weeds.
Yeah.
You have the water.
Been through the drip process.
That's true. Well, and you have to filter it. You take out all the plant seeds.
Yeah, but there's no surface moisture to the weed seeds to germinate.
Each irrigation valve with similar site, slope and soil conditions. I mean, I think most of this stuff is just plant materials with the similar water needs, because if you don't, then something dies. Lawns and planting beds shall be separate. If you're in a drip system, they're already separate.
And can we eliminate like park strip I and J and PAS and stuff?
Yep.
Because we don't have those things.
Yep,
they don't
not
have
applicable.
Applicable to our area.
But will it become?
Put them in. It'll make them happier, and it's
right.
Not going to affect anybody.
Right. And who knows if down the road somebody does a development that ends up with a park strip?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to be in 10 years?
Yeah,
we don't
nobody
want to rewrite a code.
Yeah, yeah, nobody knows. Yeah, you could certainly leave it in there.
Well, there's no curb or something, whatever. I don't want to encourage people to do those kinds of things.
No, but there are some.
Well, the reason they won't do it is because as soon as you end up putting in a curb, then you're responsible to direct that stormwater. Well, you have to direct the stormwater. It doesn't have anything to do with the curb, but now you're responsible for the water.
The water belongs to the state, but you better make sure it flows
the
right direction.
Once you put in a curb, then you have to direct that water back onto your side, so you have to build a retaining bond or something to hold that water. Joe Witt's basketball court that he put in, he had it all draining. I'm like, you have to keep that on site. So he had to change the grade to keep everything on site. It's not a big deal for us because we have big lots and we run the water. We know how much.
You used to have irrigation ditches.
Yeah, we did.
Everybody's filled them all in. Still some on our street, in case you're missing.
So, is there anyone that would like to take this on as a project?
I got 100 tax returns to do over the next month.
That's why I was pointing.
You sucker. And if they don't get done, you're going to get all the heat blowing back on you.
That's an administrative term, sucker.
Make sure it's in the memo.
That was polite.
I would, but this is just a bad month.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be too big of a thing at all just to run through there and put some code letterings to it.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, thanks for doing that.
Multi-family and single, I mean, we don't have multi-family.
He acted like he didn't care what your favorite.
He's ignoring you.
Residential projects in the front side yards comply with the landscape below. So that they're going to have their own standards that we're going to have to follow.
Thanks, Eric, for doing it.
Would you like to make us a proposal?
You're almost done.
I'm almost done?
Feels like you're almost done.
If you guys want me to take a stab at it, I will. I'll send it out. You guys.
Let's do that.
Tear it up.
Because I really don't think anything in here is all that egregious, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a big deal, just some of it just doesn't apply.
And I would have, and even the stuff that's not applicable, let's look at it, but like the park strips, it isn't today, but it might be tomorrow.
Might be.
You know, I just think cover all your future bases.
And well, and if anything in there becomes an issue, we'll change the code down.
Right.
But when your wife decides she wants a park strip, you have a reason to say, we can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think my wife's going to be parking in any strips.
Okay, so you'll take it on and send it out?
I'll do a mock-up with it. And then I'll send that to Gary, and then Gary, you'll distribute it. You or Tim, whoever.
Okay. And Mary's going to have a more defined, like what she talked about at the last meeting. She'll have something more defined for your next meeting to go over about the Board of Appeals. But she's out of town until the end of the month.
Refresh me on that. I remember talking about it. Board of Appeals.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about expanding that?
No, she's thinking about narrowing how many it takes. Gary, do you want to explain that?
Yeah, state code has some changes, and Mary, right now I think we have to have 4 votes.
In our code, not
in
the
our
state.
Code. And so Mary would like to change it, so we have to have 3 people there for a quorum, 2 people to vote.
A majority of who's there.
Yeah, majority of who's there, yeah.
So we talk
and then we yeah. talked a little bit last time, is 2 really enough?
Yeah, I still don't think so.
Especially where you've had however many of
as
us.
As often as they meet, they dang well better be able to be there.
Well,
of course,
I mean,
I speak lightly.
We really do a pretty good job of administering the codes, 3 of them in all the years. I mean,
yes.
That's
true.
I mean, so,
but
we are getting litigated more and more every day.
Where it takes 4 in planning to make a decision, I don't know that I like the idea of 2 can override it.
So the idea was then making 3 the quorum, but then all 3 would have to agree.
Was
unanimous.
One
yeah.
option, or it could be 2. I mean, that's what Mary suggested, was 2.
So that was kind of, do we need the...
Do they need to be a unanimous decision or a decision
of the
majority?
If there's 3. If there's 3.
That's what I would like to see, is if there's 3, it has to be unanimous.
And second that motion.
Okay, so let me read this 155E2. And so this is voting for the council. The minimum vote required. The minimum vote required, the minimum number of yes votes required to pass any ordinance, resolution, or to take any action by the town council, unless otherwise prescribed by law, shall be a majority of the members of the quorum, but shall never be less than 3.
Yeah.
Does that fix that?
Yes.
Because
yes.
She's reading 4. On their own voting, it shall never be less than 3.
Yeah.
And she's saying we should do 2 to override.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
Well, and that verbiage would be really easy just to copy, and then it's consistent.
Well, the 3 to overturn, I mean, it's obviously been through the planning department, went to the planning commission, you guys, that's what they're looking to overturn. It should take a good, healthy amount to overturn that. You have 7 members looking at this. There's a reason they denied it, or, well, I could say denied. If they approved it, they wouldn't be appealing it, would they?
Unlikely.
Unlikely.
Anything's possible, I'm sure.
Yeah. I hate that you guys let me do that. But, I mean, it should take a majority, I think. Now, that said, tongue-in-cheek, if you go to Midway, and I believe Interlock, and I'm not sure, but Midway for short, Board of Appeals is 1 person.
Really?
So the state allowed you to appoint 1 person, doesn't even have to be in your municipality, that hears appeals.
I don't want to be like Midway.
Yeah.
So they could overturn a large group that had thought about it and discussed it.
And there were some members on the council that wanted to do that, and I was opposed.
You should try to move over there.
Well, that language would be consistent then throughout the code if we.
Yeah, and that one, the 151E2 is just consistent with what the council has.
So it's 151E2.
155. One dash five, dash five, E two.
Okay, one, okay, E two, okay.
And that just covers your less than three. Doesn't matter how many there, it has to be three votes to overturn it.
Would you like me to take a stab at a draft ordinance for that? That you guys can look at?
Okay, depends on when we're going to have the public hearing, whether we have another meeting first or not.
You won't, unless you schedule one, there's not one.
Because the idea is to vote all this in, or have the public hearing for next month, right?
Yes, but I mean, I can email that out.
You can still make changes in the meeting.
And let us know when you email that stuff.
Yeah, no, and I'll do that. So if Eric's willing to take on that one, I can take on this one and just put that verbiage in and also take Mary's stuff together.
What does ours say right now?
Well, right now it says four votes, because that used to be the county code, so it's just what we adopted in.
I think we ought to just change it to what the council is doing.
The state code changed, and now it's unclear. The state code actually, two is enough according to the state code, but we can always go more. Like, that's the minimum.
With what the council does, the majority and the less than three.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the majority, that takes care of what state law is requiring us to say.
Yeah.
But then we've added the three back in.
And all we have to do is just copy that. You don't even need to write anything.
And that makes it more consistent from my perspective.
So do we make a proposal to the council for that?
Yeah, but let's.
Once this code change, you have it?
Yeah, so that'll be next month.
Part of the public hearing.
We'll have a public hearing to adopt the council.
A recommendation to the council and then adopt.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's done.
Okay.
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 We do need to set the public hearing.
Okay. Well, you actually voted on that last time.
We did do that on the last.
Yeah, just to have a public hearing.
In October.
So, and it's just going to say code changes.
I know, but did we do date and time?
It's going to be during our meeting, so.
Okay.
So at seven?
Yeah, at seven o'clock, whatever.
Okay.
So I haven't posted it or anything like that yet. It's a little bit too soon. I'll do it after this meeting. Do you just want it in the paper once, because we're having two meetings, or do you want it in the paper a couple times? That's up to you. I'm talking notice wise.
I think we just have to notice, we're having one meeting, so we'll notice.
Yeah, we only have to do it once.
14 days by our code, the state code is 10, ours says 14.
But we do have to mention everything we're going to discuss.
Yes.
But we should only need one notice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there charges for those?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Big time.
It's about $35 each.
Yeah, big time. So another one, Gary, we talked about, and we're still on codes, right?
Yeah.
We talked about notices, because we brushed up against this.
He pinches pennies.
And our code says that you can mail it, or you can hand deliver it, and I think we need to add email. Because of, this code was written before the email thing really went. I think email is a viable, I mean, the courts let you email. I think we need to add that to 312 as a source for notices going out to offenders or people appearing, that we can send them through the email.
Okay, can you just write that up and send that out with the other things that you were talking about?
So that'll be 312?
So 3.1.2?
Yes.
Okay.
And we just want to add email to that. That's all the notices that you send out also.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be able to, because you already sent them emails. But that, according to our code, that's not sufficient.
Okay.
So we just want to add email to that notice.
Okay.
So do we need to add home delivery too?
No.
Eventually. Actually, we're too close to your report.
And then the Board of Adjustments, I think you've got that down as a separate thing, don't you? No. You have non-conforming lots as separate.
Yeah, no.
No, the Board of Adjustments was the code change recommendations that we're talking about now, which was item two.
And that was what Mary provided last month, actually.
Yeah.
We're changing everything that says adjustments to appeals. And then she had some other things, but we need to have. had her draft that because she was very specific in what she wanted, and then you guys can decide what's applicable.
I didn't like what she wrote because it didn't make sense to me.
And that's fine, but she had a big packet, so then when she gets back in town, I'll have her resend it so you guys can look at what her changes that she wants to do prior to that.
So this is what the code says about the four member. The concurring vote of not less than four members of the board shall be necessary to reverse any order, requirement, or decision, determination applying the land use ordinance. Now, as I read that, that tells me, I don't know if anybody picked up on that, in order to reverse any order.
Yeah.
We told them that...
No.
No, we told them no. It would take four members to overturn that, the way I read that code.
What page are you on?
And she's asking, she says that we just need that to do everything. And I think the higher number substantiates that it's met in front of the seven members that it's been looked at. It's not arbitrary or capricious. And I think our code is, the way I read that, it's fine.
But the problem is if you only had three people, they couldn't overturn it.
They couldn't reverse it.
They would have to do another one. So why hold a hearing?
Well, and you can just change that to three also.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. But three, and again, we can just change that.
But I think I'm fine with that as long as all three vote.
Yeah, see, and I read that different. That was for a reversal, not for the vote. If they can't get the fourth member, then they couldn't overturn it. They still have the right to go to court. I don't think we're out of compliance at all. I mean, I haven't talked to the attorney about that at all, but I mean, the way I read that is to reverse that takes a vote of four. If there was three and two thought it was okay, you know, that it shouldn't be turned over, then it wouldn't get turned over unless they could convince the fourth person. So I didn't have a problem with the way the code's written. Other than the state law says a majority of those present. So we've got to include that language.
Well, I think if we're going to have three as the quorum, then we shouldn't have the number four in any of the code. Because if three is the quorum, then they should, I mean, we could require all three to vote on it.
So let's wait and see what Mary suggests, and then we'll look at it.
Yeah, but see, this was a seven-member board. And so that way four shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go to five, you can go down to three easy enough. But
we should.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a stretch because she was saying it takes four to have any action, and that's not what that says. It says to overturn.
Okay.
And so.
Well, that'll be a good point when she sends that email out and we're all emailing back and forth.
Yeah, and I haven't talked to Katie directly about
that. And that's fine.
You know, because I was trying to put apples to apples as we go through there, our answer.
Did you get the Not Church draft though?
No, I didn't get. It won't open up on my computer.
Oh, okay. He did submit it on the 18th.
Did he?
He went.
I heard it was going in on Monday, but I didn't have a chance to review it.
Yeah, just so you know. So Matt Church, who is the attorney appointed by our insurers, the Utah Trust, has been working, and Katie, instead of taking it on, is just reviewing his work, and I didn't realize he hadn't had everything submitted that Mary had. The packet that the appeals board had been given. So I sent all that over. He redrafted what he initially wrote. She went through and made a few corrections.
She did.
But and then he accepted all her corrections and submitted it on Monday. And I thought I had sent that to you, so I'll send it to you so you have it.
Okay. Katie Sharp, are you sharp gal?
Yeah, no.
So at this point, we don't know what it is.
She had, I didn't bring it with me,
we
but
we will and we'll have to.
We had five affirmative defenses to the action.
I mean,
you're talking about the action that took place. So
yeah,
that,
we're talking about the actual. We're talking about the actual lawsuit.
The court.
And
okay.
And we're not. There's no public member here, or otherwise this would be probably in closed session. But we're not talking.
The public is here because we're recording the meeting.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, if there was anything sensitive, we were going to talk about. But basically, they reviewed it. They responded, it's been submitted.
We're waiting. Put it to court.
We're waiting.
So as far as item two, Eric's going to look at the changes for Central Utah Water. We're going to get the changes from Mary on the other code changes. And then Eric, you had one more suggestion.
The email.
The email addition.
Yeah, on the notices.
312.
Send those out, so.
Okay.
We can look.
I can write that one up. I can write that one up too. I'll do.
You want the 312?
Yeah. So A is the conservancy. You're handling that, Eric, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to handle the changing that specific three vote to match what is in the town council.
Right.
Code.
321.
Okay, so that's B. Then C is the notices. We're just adding email as one of the ways we can provide notices, right? That's all we're doing?
Yeah, that's all we're doing is adding email to that.
And then D is Mary, all of the changes she wants to make.
But your addition to the 312 needs to go into those, into the eight.
I would not do that. Let's take Mary's and discuss it and we'll make the change in the meeting.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I'm not going to do Mary's. I'm leaving D as.
That's where it goes.
But that's where it would go.
That's where it would go.
It's going to insert into Mary's.
Going into Mary's.
The email?
No.
No, the other one.
Oh.
The number of votes.
The copy of the council.
Okay, so B, so.
You're smack in the middle.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Don't jump in the middle of it.
Okay, then that's fine, but now you know what the code says.
Yeah.
And you know where to look, okay? So I'll just do notices and I'm just going to simply add email as a way to notice. Is that, are we all clear?
And then send Mary's stuff out.
And she's rewrote, her section she rewrote is 80209.
Okay, that's why I was trying to find what were, the four people is what, 80219?
09.
Thank you.
And that's more for field procedure.
Okay.
All right, let's move to item number three. Any thoughts that anyone's had on that since our last meeting?
Did we get any numbers back? Weren't we going to get some numbers from Ardera on costs and?
The engineering.
Yeah. That's what I thought we were waiting for, so we could try and figure out.
I thought she gave us that. She's averaged 500, she said.
I thought it was an average of like three something.
Minutes said, the minutes are 350.
350.
I haven't heard anything since.
She's moving today. She moved into her brand new first home today, so that's why she's not here.
Yep.
So yay, and then also moving.
Because we didn't want to help move.
Besides the fee, was there more to discuss?
Well, that's the thing. Are we going to charge for an ag?
Yeah.
Yes, I think we should.
I think my vote would be yes.
Okay, is that going to be a code change too then?
That will be.
Okay. Okay, so three.
Right now, we say anything over 200 feet requires a permit, but if it's agricultural, that may be waived. And we're going to say we're not waiving that based on cost.
But only if you have under 5 acres, correct?
Right.
We're not allowed to do it.
Right, state code.
Right.
Okay.
We don't have to say as a code how much the fee is.
No, we can just say cost.
It's just the cost of doing business.
That's what our application says. It's this much plus cost, all of our applications.
That way we can change it from time to time without changing the code.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so.
Yeah, by just a resolution, you can, the base fee, but cost, I have that associated on every one because if you get a bad one, they'll really suck it out of you. So if the costs go over, then we don't do the final inspection till the costs are paid.
Both cuts.
Total. That's the only leverage we have is the last inspection.
Okay, do we need to do a suggestion for a resolution about the cost to begin with? Like start at 350 or what? Do we need to do that?
You think that'd be a code change or I think that's administrative fee?
I think it's.
Because it's already allowed by state law.
Right, it's allowed. I think it's just an administrative change.
So I don't think we'll have to do a public hearing on that. I think that's, it must have a recommendation from this board. I think the council could just adopt that.
Okay.
Because I think that would be administrative.
So just recommendation?
Because then we don't have to track it except for a resolution, so.
Okay, would someone like to make a motion?
It says discussion, Carrie. It doesn't say motion.
right?
It doesn't, I don't believe we have to say that it's...
Okay, all right.
So we're having a discussion. If someone would like to make a motion.
If we do it now, then we, or do we need to do it in the public hearing as well? Or no?
Well, we're making a motion on the code change.
Yeah, I don't think we can make a motion until...
No, we're making a motion. The code change, we've already set the public hearing.
Right.
That's all done. We're on item three, which is the ag building permits. Do we want to make a recommendation to the council on that?
How much?
$350.
No.
We should start. If you even want to charge.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was the code change.
No.
It won't be a code change because we, it already says we may charge less than 5 acres in the state code. And so what we're saying is we haven't done that, so it'd be a change, and we're saying that's administrative. But it's going to come from a recommendation from this board before they do anything.
So we need a motion to the council.
For a recommendation.
Recommending that we charge fees for ag buildings, et cetera. Do we need to say over 200 feet, under 5 acres, when allowed?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if we want to do it for all buildings above whatever that minimum square footage is.
Well, the state code says ag buildings on 5 acres, you can't charge.
You can't do it.
So state code for Trump.
So that's why we're saying when allowed.
Yeah, and so anything that's over, anything that's over 1,500. Right.
But when I build mine, you'll have, you're on what, three or four?
Non-conformer.
A non-conformer.
I thought we already sent something like this to the council and they told us to figure out a number. I swear, like, 3 or 4 months ago, we told them we were looking at it and it was, we left a TBD number on our thing and they came back and said, great, come up with a number.
What's the number, yeah?
That's what I remember.
I think that's correct.
The minutes that I have said 350 is the average cost.
So you could certainly put that in your recommendation?
And that would be like...
350 plus cost?
The minimum plus any over.
Well, or do you want to say, say cost because...
We could do that.
I don't know, do we, is the town, you do 350 plus cost and the town's going to be making 350 on each one.
Why not just add cost? Does she have a way of determining cost?
Or make it 350, I don't care.
The problem is, the cost is you don't know the cost till you're done. And then people aren't going to pay.
They're not going to pay it. He's got a set of numbers.
So that's why there's a drop-off fee with your plans of $500. And then they credit that towards a check, but at least the check is paid for.
Okay, that's fine if it's credited, I'm just saying, but say 350 plus cost.
So you're going to have a 350 drop-off fee, then they're going to do their thing. And then if it goes over 350, then the cost would be associated with that.
So we're going to pay that.
Minimum of 350 then.
I think you just make it a
flat fee, it's easier that way.
And how am I to say it costs, take, if I'm paying it by the hour or by the inspection or by the, what it, just say this is going to be...
It should not be any inspections, it should not be any plan checks.
Well, we can look at it in a year if we're still losing a lot of money.
Right now, we're averaging 350. The problem becomes when we have, what was that guy's name, Scott? That did the other barns. We ran into so much money because he just did it and then didn't do any, didn't pull a permit, didn't need a permit. They're on 5 acres. Well, then all of a sudden, everything changed with it and we ended up in the thousands on that thing where he could get it squared away. They ran power, they didn't get a permit for the power. They ran plumbing, but it, I mean, Cribs, is that his name, Scott Cribs? That built those two barns. Anyway, it was a disaster. And I would love to have cost on there for those kinds of, and people, you know what? The cost gets you 2 inspections. If you can't get it right in 2, you should pay more money because you're not listening.
Yeah, because there actually should be no inspections.
Well, I think our inspector will still go out and do site plan for the setbacks.
So if we do a, I think you do need to do a site inspection.
Yeah.
So if you have a base fee and then have a fee scheduled for electrical inspection, plumbing inspection, storm drain off, whatever inspections that are required.
Well, they're already being charged for electrical inspections.
Yeah, Yeah, see, that fee's $200. You want an electrical inspection, the fee's $200. That's what it costs to get our inspector and
the state allows us to charge that.
To get that done.
We're charging that now on an ag building.
On all ag buildings, you're gonna pay that electrical.
Yeah, so we're just talking about the ag building fee. The electrical's still gonna be on top of that.
Yep.
Water's still gonna be on top of that.
Because you gotta pay heat and power for that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And then the health department.
Do you have any wording we need to change on that motion?
Did you get a motion?
It's pretty vague.
It was sort of a vague, yes.
You didn't state an amount that.
Byron can make a better attempt.
Probably not. You didn't state the amount.
Right.
So are we good with 350 as the base?
I'd like to make a motion that we delay this until January.
Once you get a permit, you've got a year to build.
What are you doing tonight?
Well, the council still has to go through and adopt it, so it may be.
You got 45 days, dude.
Well, this is administrative, they can put it in effect tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
So are we okay on 350?
Yeah.
Good place to start.
350 it is.
Do you want to add plus costs in that, or are we getting away from it?
I just do a 350.
350 for that.
How many knuckleheads do you deal with that go way above that average thing?
Most of.
Unfortunately, a lot.
All the knuckleheads.
There's a lot of knuckleheads in the world.
But in the cases.
Average would say about half.
Some of the other cases, they didn't get a permit to start with, so you have some other avenues to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, it's just hard to collect.
Yeah.
Then we ought to be all right, right?
The only way we have to collect is not give them their last inspection until the costs are paid. And so that's why cost comes into that.
I've been trying to do this with.
But if that's not your recommendation, I'll turn.
I think to start with, I'd just go with a set fee and.
That's what we've got, that's what the motion is right now.
Okay.
It's the 350 set fee.
Okay, do we have a second?
All seconds added.
Okay, who made the motion? Eric?
Other than it.
Okay, and Horner? Second?
Call for a vote.
I still don't get what they get for their 350, so I'm not ready to vote yet. What does, if I want to build an ag building, you're gonna charge me $350 on a right-year check?
Yes.
And what do I get?
So that's gonna pay for Nudura doing all their, doing your permit, issuing the permit.
Okay.
And doing the site plan setback inspection.
Checking to make sure those are done.
Yeah.
Those should be included in my site plan when I give it to you.
They should be, but whether the site plan actually hits the ground in the right place or not is a different story.
They end up actually.
You can draw whatever you want on the paper.
They actually end up drawing site plans for ag buildings in the Nudura office on a regular basis.
So right now, the town is absorbing all this.
All that, that you just, I just assumed people took what they're supposed to, bad for me.
Let's let people that are using the service pay for the service.
They just show up down to Nudura and they want to build a barn, and so Amelia goes out, gets the paper, and they drop this thing.
No, I think you've got to come.
The Reader barn was the same way.
We need to make that a part of the.
I just went to his house and drew.
Motion, that, I don't know if you have to make it part of the motion or the code or the whatever, but in order to have approval, you must present your own approved site plan. The site plan has to be approved.
That's another way we could lower the costs is.
They can hire Nudura themselves to draw.
Paper that says, you come back with this and then you can get a permit.
This is.
No more discussion.
Check all these dots and it'll be $350.
But that's not what's happening.
Correct, but it can happen.
It could happen, but that's big government. That's not the town of Daniel helping.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something different than what we're doing right now. You show up and we're trying to help people get, everybody's just trying to do what they need to do, and that's our focus. If we want to go big government, you don't pass go till you do this, then that's a different thing altogether.
Well, and.
We can certainly hold Nudura to that, but by the time you have them come back and do that three or four times, you're gonna be still where you're at.
Well, and if we're helping them, then they're gonna get permits and.
Yeah.
Rather than just build things that are unpermitted.
Nobody's gonna be angry if I go in to get me a barn permit and they say, this is what we need to have, a site plan. You've got to have your 50-foot setback from your home if you've got animals or whatever, and these are the things. And so for your permit, here's your checklist.
I don't know that people are gonna blow up about that, like.
They don't know what they need.
They don't.
I'm like, what do I need to build a barn?
Ardura can do that right now without any influence from us right here.
And it will take them.
Well, they can.
An hour to do it.
It costs everything.
To hand them a sheet?
Yeah, because now they're coming back, now you've got another thing.
And they're asking questions, they're taking.
But they're coming back with everything that we just paid the engineer, Ardura, hourly wage to sit there on their little clicker and make lines.
Oh, no, this is drawn on a sheet of paper. They draw it on a sheet of paper right there. This is your setback, this is what you need. It's that simple.
But.
Because it's not engineered.
It takes several hours.
Yep, that's good.
I took a paper and went to Rex Reader's when he started his barn, it says, Rex, you have to have this much setback. How big's your building? How far is it from the house? 40 feet, it can't be 40 feet, it's gotta be 50 feet. Okay, it's 50 feet. You just put it on, you know, it may be 80 feet, but at least he has the minimums on his site plan, and it's in and out.
I still think the public ought to have some semblance of responsibility to come, show up, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to get a permit for.
I agree.
And have it on paper, and if they don't have it, hand them a piece of paper and go out in your car and draw whatever you know, give them the punch list, this is what's gotta happen. We should take responsibility for what I want to build on my property. I don't see what is so difficult about that.
I don't think that this seven member right here is the general public.
Maybe we ought to help the general public if they don't have that kind of responsibility. I mean, is that unreasonable?
I agree, yeah.
To have some semblance of a plan of this is what I want to get a build, a permit for.
Yeah, it goes on all the time.
I've got eight buildings drawn on my computer of different barns and things that I'm considering building. It isn't that difficult.
Well, I mean, not for you. Some of these guys coming into all the computers, so.
That's, yeah, that's where they are burning the three.
But it's okay.
Andy, ready to vote?
It's okay, I mean, if that's what, that's the.
I just wanted to know what the 350 is going to. I have a vague understanding. Thank you for that explanation. Skinner, yes.
Thank you.
Wild, yes.
Rope, McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Bangler, yes. Bennett, yes.
That's for the 350, right?
Yes.
And you all have the opportunity to go to the council meeting and say, we think 350 is too high, and if you could work some way that we can bring the cost down.
And they may even say that, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe too low, we'll have to see, reevaluate.
Council has the final say.
They'll have to reevaluate.
I just think we need to require people to show up with their documentation. You know, that's not the town's job or Ardura's job. They want to hire him personally to draw that for them, fine. But not on our guy.
Okay, let's move to number four, which is non-conforming lots discussion. And Kim.
I did print off your email.
I know, I emailed Kim.
It starts with subdivisions, it looks like this.
So what this is just a section from opinions from the property rights ombudsman's office. And I think it's actually pretty good.
It's just the one that says part four. That's a part four at the top here.
No.
It looks like this.
From my, oh.
Just an
email. It's not part four.
It's just an email like this.
Email. Forward subdivisions.
It says forward subdivisions at the very top. You're almost there.
Thank you.
So if you just have a chance to scan through that. And in the bottom, this is advisory opinion 90, and this is just an excerpt from it. and there are other opinions, and there's more information in this one, because each one of them was actually about a specific case. So for example, there's an advisory opinion about Heber City charging impact fees to the school district for the sewer connection for the Daniel Canyon Elementary School, and, you know, different things that they've looked at over the years.
Did they give an opinion on that?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they basically said you can charge 1.5 times the rate for sewer, but you can't charge 1.5 times the impact fee, because impact fees are based on the actual impact, and that doesn't have 1.5 times the impact.
I didn't know Heber charged them.
Yeah, they did try on a whole bunch of different.
Yeah, things. And with the county too, and usually you don't charge entities impact fee, but they do. Yeah.
So anyway, if you look at the third paragraph, I think that kind of gives us some marching orders.
So do we know what the zoning ordinances and standards were when property was first divided? I mean, that's going to be different for all of them.
Yep. And I think, but once again, we hold the property owner to the burden, to provide the burden of proof, which right. Our code says right now, and I think we could continue to do that.
So they would have to provide us things like the date that happened, what was the
mostly
what was
county.
The code then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All from the county.
If it complies with that, then maybe we'll consider it.
Yeah. And well, so, you know, I'm not saying we should do any action, but I think we should continue thinking about it. But my thoughts right now are, if the property owner owns both parcels, they have a chance to rectify that by joining them back together and subdividing them correctly. Or, you know, including, I mean, we'd want to say anything that was done, say, before the town
was
created or before a certain year or something like that, we can do that. But then we need a process for how that happens.
But the two final paragraphs, I found the most interesting, that the town should not retroactively legitimize improper divisions carried out in defiance of the law or local government. So if it was divided illegally back then it's not proper for the town to legitimize that now.
Mm-hmm. That's why the burden of proof is on the.
Yeah, and I mean, how you prove that it was in defiance of the law or not, I'm not sure either, but I still believe there needs to be a path to resolve this for some parcels. And I don't have the answers yet or no, but I think this gives some information that we can continue working on that and think about that. And this is like propertyrights.utah.gov, and if you look for the advisory opinions, and there's different subjects, but.
So property rights.
.utah.gov. So now, are there any other comments about this?
I agree with you, Gary, that because I see the people, well, the one that comes to my mind is on 3000, of that 1 acre one, that lady came and she talked and they had the garage and the septic system, but it's only like an acre. And she brought the houses in the local, well, now there's a camper on there. You know, it's just like there should be a way, and I don't know what that way is, that someone could build a little nice home there and call it home.
Or we could say.
But I don't know what that looks
refund.
Like.
It's not big enough.
It's not big enough, and you're never going to be able to build on it.
But
sorry.
But there needs to be a process so that when that happens, we do the same thing and treat everybody fairly and equally, so.
You're talking about that lot just east of my old house.
That just was an example. And, you know, maybe one of the homes around there could bring it into their more larger lots. I don't know.
There's options.
There's options, but now look what we've set up though, because now they're living there in their camper. And so I don't know what word we should say, we set them up for failure. They want to use their land, I get that.
Well, they want to build on it.
I get all that, but we've said no and they just worked around us and did what they wanted.
Well, the people there now have never been in here.
That's not the people.
Oh, so they're letting someone else do it? So, I mean.
Have we given her a letter of you gotta get out?
We have not.
And I don't even want to pick on them.
The council hasn't directed us to do that.
And that, I'm not wanting to pick on them, but the point is there needs to be a process.
I thought ordinance stuff just needed to be done by complaint and I've heard complaints.
The way it works is there's a complaint, written complaint, then there's an investigation of that complaint. Is it substantiated? If it's substantiated, I go back to the council and say, yes, this is an actual.
Violation.
And then they decide the course of action they take. So there's none, I don't just go send out a letter. The council has to do that.
You haven't received a written complaint, correct?
I have not.
We've received several verbal complaints.
I get a ton of verbal complaints. Tons of them.
Mostly from your wife.
Well, her too. I don't see her enough to get off.
You tell them to write up your complaint and they just tell you.
It's totally up to them because they start incurring costs bringing in the attorneys. The town has to decide what they're going to pursue and what they're not going to pursue. There was a heated discussion a couple of weeks ago.
Can a written complaint be anonymous?
No, because when we go to court, I need a victim. So the judge wants to know who the victim is.
If you don't have a victim, they'll kick it out of court.
But for instance.
You'll be a witness and a victim.
My dad sent in a written complaint and he just did it by text because he kept bugging me and I said, you have to have it written. So he finally just sent me a text and it was just about a stop sign that was overgrown, but now we have something. So when we go and start trimming someone's tree because it's covering a stop sign, we have
a complaint. That's why people are hesitant to do it.
That's exactly why, yeah.
Because they don't want to take
the people that live across the street.
But the other side of that is, if it doesn't tick you off enough to sign your name, then it's really not a valid complaint.
Well.
So. The idea is you'll get off and go over there and talk to them about it, and people won't do that. It's easy to pick up the phone and, there you go, got this.
Well, tell them what happened to the people across the street from my house.
The camper storage place?
Yeah. The people living in.
Eric's old house.
For a little while.
Living in.
Oh, in their trailer?
Yeah.
So they had the in-laws?
Yeah.
Living out.
So tell them how that proceeded. Because my dad was actually one of the first ones to complain, but he wasn't willing, because they're neighbors, to sign a complaint. He wasn't. He said, yeah, it bothers me, but not enough to cause bad feelings. However.
Yeah, so we did get.
The neighbors on either side of them did not feel that way, and.
So that's one of the problems with the policy that the town has, is that it has to be a written complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Heber City, they hire, there's a full-time compliance officer.
Most cities have one.
You're right. And Mr. Pearson had that very heated discussion with me about that, and I told him, if that's what you want, I'm not your guy. Go hire somebody.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time to drive around and look. It'll be months before I ever get up the road very far.
Sure.
Starting at my own house.
Start here and move out.
So.
Anyway.
Thank you for your honesty. I'm serious.
And you
there's not
get
one
up
house.
Walk up the street.
I'll never get up to your house. It's going to take me months. Months. There's something. If it doesn't bother people to the point that they want to do that, I don't feel like we should act on it. And if I have a problem with my neighbor, something that bothered me, his life, I'm gonna go over and talk to him. But that's just me. I understand people don't do that.
Your kid's a problem.
But I would just talk to my neighbor. People don't do that. And so that's where the town has to decide what they're gonna enforce, what's.
So we kind of digressed from.
Sorry, I started it. I apologize.
Yeah, well, I think it's.
My point being, we need a process.
So I just would like people to continue. Let's continue looking at this. I think this one's going to be a tough one. But I think it's going to be even tougher if we don't come up with an answer.
Do you think there's a way that they go through the resolution process to these lots and not open the can of worms of subdividing?
Well, the can of worms could get opened in court anytime.
Could now.
Yeah.
Without us doing it.
And so, what's the right thing to do? Do you make it so that it's buildable because it was?
And how many people are going to sue you?
Subdivided. But I'm just saying, you'd better have a process that you follow for everybody exactly the same, or you are going to get sued.
And that, and his recommendation here is local government should adopt a post-division approval process.
Right.
And we don't have one of those.
But we're also waiting for the outcome of the current lawsuit on the Schultz property, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to do anything until we have that opinion.
Right.
And then we may not have much of a choice about.
Well, I think we've been pretty good.
No, I think we have, but I'm saying.
Because what the standard right now is, if they have a lot of record certificate, the council has allowed them to build. And so I think that's a definite line in the sand. If you cross this line, then they don't have to. They're under no obligation, but they have let them build on a lot of record certificate. The problem we have is people don't have those. And back in the day, you sell an acre to somebody. And, I mean, we have acres all over peeled off property that they never recorded. It was never done. Who knows? They never followed the process of the documentation. Right.
And that's why I'm saying I think you can give people notice that have done that to their own property, or that property is in five pieces, but it's still one piece, that will help you put it back together and build on it. But you sell one of those lots, nobody's going to be able to build on it.
Right, and we just did that with the barn on Daniel Road.
Yeah,
his lot was separated. That was a condition that he where it goes back together.
Yeah.
It's still not 5 acres, but it's not two parcels.
Right.
And so there's a ton of ways you can look at this, and I think one of those might be limiting what can be built on those lots. If they're allowed to be built, that maybe a downsize of what's, so you don't lose your rural atmosphere.
Or downsize how much of the lot could be covered. I mean, there's a bunch of options.
Yeah, and right now our biggest hang-up is the health department's not going to allow a septic on anything less than 2.5 acres.
Yeah, but that's not our problem. That's their problem.
Right. Well, they'll come and give us a permit, and then we're going to be at stalemate with, because it goes to them, and then it just sits there.
But we could also adopt an ordinance, is his word, based on this last line on the first page, right? In other words, if it was legal back when you subdivided it, then that's one thing. If it wasn't legal back then we will turn it down.
Well, I think
that's kind of what our code does now, isn't it?
Right. That's the bar we're trying to pass. If they show up and show they did legally and they have their lot of record certificate.
Yeah, but they may not have a lot of record certificate.
But it would be recorded at the county with the date stamp and everything.
Maybe.
But we don't have an ordinance that says that, do we? That we will okay it if you have this?
We do not.
No.
So
we should adopt something. It still may not give any more permits out, but at least we have something in writing that we can refer to. I would think it would lower the amount of court cases that happen. I don't know.
Mine.
That a 1 acre lot, maybe that was legal at the time. It could be still a non-conforming lot, but it's not buildable because you can't get a septic tank. And maybe there will be a sewer system 40 years from now.
There's a pretty good chance there will be.
Yeah.
I think we're not that far away. I think we're about one bad reading in Deer Creek away from EPA knocking on doors. You will be putting in a sewer system. So that's why our zoning is so important to have it, because that's a backup right now, but that could go away at any time.
Yeah. So anyway, let's continue just thinking about that. I'll put it on the agenda again.
It's a tough thing, I know.
Yeah.
Don't think it's going to gain much to have a long discussion tonight.
So put this on the agenda next month?
Yeah.
Do we ever come up with a count of these non-conforming lots?
Yeah.
All right.
I did it, and I just did all of the lots in the town based on that map that we had.
Yeah.
And about 60% of our lots are non-conforming.
Well, 60% that aren't already built on?
No, of all lots.
But what about how many lots that are now?
But I don't know about the ones not built on because I can't see what's on the property.
There are very few.
A dozen or less?
No, there's a lot. There's a lot.
That are not built on?
Yes.
Open fields.
Yeah.
One-acre parcels.
Little strips of land here and there and everywhere.
Yeah. The one, the Andersons have one already cornered. It's actually in the Anderson's name. And the bank called me because he was taking out a loan, and he tells me it's a buildable lot. I'm like, it's not. But that's, he's trying to get a loan on it. It's just 1 acre down in the corner. That's not even part of the Anderson subdivision. I don't know if it was a cousin or something, but they got 1 acre down in that corner. There's it. So it's like, really?
Joyce had turned her in a grave.
Well, she subdivided hers. All of hers is that. That's what I'm saying. That was all subdivided, and they did it legally, and it was all recorded in the subdivision. We have no issues with that, but somehow that acre was not part of it, and it's just like, that is so weird. And the guy has last name Anderson, so I don't know.
So there are a lot. And non-conforming lots get added a little bit differently if you want to build or add on. It's possible, but it's a little different. But anyway, let's move on to item 5, which is agricultural protection areas. And I brought that up last time. There's a new flyer in here that Kim included.
It looks like this, yeah. Got a nice
picture of a plan.
Interesting. I haven't seen this before. I read some stuff online about it.
So
my impression is it can be helpful, but it can still be overturned by people like you, Doc. Am I reading that right?
The way I read it about eminent domain is protection against that.
Yeah. It makes them go higher. Standard.
Yeah, and they have to get approval from the town council to be able to do it. So that's a big difference. So basically, the way I read it, the county has the board. Say someone wants to do eminent domain, they have to go to the board and report the recommendation to the town council, and the town council can override it. They can do what they want. But I'm just wondering if there's enough energy in the town to do this. I don't see a lot of downsides.
I was going to say, when I read the limited, that didn't seem like any downside at all. If we want to continue our rural.
Especially since somebody can opt out if they want to.
Or they can remove their land at any time.
Yeah.
And it only lasts 20 years.
And it doesn't change the current zoning. I mean, you can still do anything you can do in the current zoning.
If UDOT wanted to come and build a road along the mountain and it was part of the if we already made it part of the agricultural protection zone, would that hold them to a higher standard?
Yes, sure. Yeah, it will.
Yeah, so here's what it says in this document. It says, increased protection from eminent domain. The political subdivision having or exercising eminent domain powers may not condemn for any purpose any land within an agricultural production area that is being used for agricultural production unless the political subdivision obtains approval according to the procedures and requirements of this section from the applicable legislative body and the Agriculture Advisory Board. So the advisory board would have to say, yeah, it's okay, and then the town council would have to say, yeah, it's okay.
Who's the advisory board? That's county?
From the way I have read it, it's appointed by the county.
Yeah, they just appointed one for the North Fields. They're doing this out in the North Fields right now.
Yeah, so it would be the same board.
Yeah. I mean, you can go door to door with this or show another one that cuts on 3,000.
How much of that mountain is, because you'd have to show that it's being productive as agriculture.
Right, as a mountain is not, but
But all the property, we don't know that it's not, we have grazing permits on there.
Yeah, there's grazing going on.
The mountain's not part of the town of Daniel anyway, is it?
No, it's...
So it doesn't count matter.
Well, P-160 goes up there a little bit. P-160 is on the other side of the creek.
Does go up.
And it does go up there quite a ways, three quarters of the way up.
Yeah, a little bit.
Some parts of it.
But I think most of the property on that side is county and state.
It is. But, well, I probably shouldn't say. Right now, we're looking at annexing a piece of that, big piece of that, so. If you're looking forward, may come into play.
Anyway, I don't see a downside.
I didn't see a downside.
Looking at the conservation easement.
Anything that could help us maintain green pastures instead of roads is a good thing.
Yes.
Are you looking at just above 3,000 South or...
I'm not looking at anywhere. I'm saying, does this make sense for the town? And then we'll let the people decide.
If they want to or not.
If they want to opt in or not, and then based on who wants to opt in, then we'd see what makes sense.
Some of the reading I was doing on it, at least one of the different article was talking about, you might have to craft some of our language to make sure we can still get residential housing in there in the right way. At least some of what I was talking about, and I was reading it where they were talking about like 50 acre tracts of land and, you know, how many houses can you drop into there and still have, you know, if you're trying to preserve it so you don't get them into too small of parcels where it's not economical to farm, and so it just seemed like we might need to be a little bit thoughtful of how you craft it. I think it's still a good idea, but it probably might be a little bit of devil in the details on how we fit this to overlay well with our residential zoning.
I agree, and I think though that we can...
We can get there, we can get through it.
Make it do what we need it to do.
Sure, I agree. I think it's a great idea.
Like along Daniels Road, north of 3,000 South, that probably most of that wouldn't really make sense. But there's some areas that might.
Yeah.
Really, you go 3,000 South South and it does.
But there's some areas on the west end that could go over to the industrial area.
There's even some up the front of the highway right now that's looking at getting developed. Up next to Ed Houston's, it would probably fit in that category too.
Yeah, the landowners wanted to say we don't want to change zoning for 20 years.
Well, they're looking at changing it right now.
Yeah, well, then it wouldn't...
Then they just won't opt in, right? They'll do their own thing.
They would opt out and... The other thing it does is it makes it so you can still farm. Puts a notice on deeds that this is within 500 feet of an ag protection area. And what that does is, for example, Orem used to have lots of orchards. They built subdivisions around them, they could no longer spray. And so the orchards then turned into subdivisions.
And if you want to cut hay at midnight, you can cut hay at midnight.
And if you want to herd your cows down the road and leave their stuff on the road.
I cannot tell you how many times Seymour City Police showed up at Binionsville when I was cutting and baling hay. Because I was right on the border. Like, you can't make noise after 10.
I'm not in your...
Dude, if you're not going to help me, get the hell out of here because I got work.
I got a long night ahead. I've had the cops on me.
So there's upsides and downsides to
so
that.
Do you want this to be part of the public discussion next month as well?
I don't know that we have enough information.
I think you should keep it on the forefront if you're going to push.
Yeah.
So the Northfields, they've already done it, or they're...
That's in the process right now.
Yeah.
So
that's why they did the committee. With the bypass that's going through, they haven't deemed where that area is, and there's some owners that are trying to get this in on their property.
For sure, yeah.
To make a higher standard for UDOT to condemn.
So is it...
Bypass is supposed to be willing seller, willing buyer.
Yeah. Sells the airport.
I'm just wondering, do we wait and copy their, you know, some of their verbiage?
Well, I think we need to get it up with input.
We could do that, or we could make a recommendation to the council that we start looking into this and get some ideas whether they're going to back it or not. Because the council has to do all the, you know, adopt some ordinances, and there's got to be some work that's done. But I think...
I mean, we do have the farm preservation that's in our code right now. And so that allows you, if you have 20 acres, you can cluster your homes,
mm-hmm.
as long as the rest for 20 years has to be farmed.
Okay.
So you can't be sold. Your development rights are set for 20 years, and you can, right now, our code allows that.
Huh, I didn't know that.
For the family farm. So there's ways of protection. But that's cool. A lot of people don't know about the farm preservation code and things like that. So.
But it also doesn't, I think the eminent domain protection is one of the things that we should be very
interested in. Yeah, it's definitely a higher standard.
Yeah, that's.
Not saying the NEPA process doesn't already cover that. If they're taking federal funds to do anything, then the standard's already pretty high. But it definitely is another cog in the
war. Well, we saw how high the standards are when this went in, just from somebody's suggestion.
Yeah.
And it's outside of the study zone, so that's like, but we don't look at any of the impacts of this.
I think that's great you point that out, Gary. I mean, how many times have we taken things off UDOT's map? I mean,
yeah.
I've been in there and I'm like, Mag, where did this road come through? It's through Daniel. How'd this get on here? Well, we can't take it off until there's a public hearing. There certainly wasn't one to put it on there. I was there. So how did it get there? And so I've actually had to produce my old maps to Mag. Mountain Land Association of Government says, okay, it's not here this year, and here it appears.
Tell me.
I've never seen that.
Tell me.
Dude, it's your map. It's your map. You sent it to me.
If you go through that January document, this January 2023, it shows the areas affected, and just the north little section of Daniel is included in that area. But yet UDOT never talked to Daniel. None of Midway is included in that.
Yeah.
And they talked to Midway.
Yeah.
Charleston's included in that. They didn't talk to Charleston. They basically talked to Heber, and so I think we have to be noisy enough to say, hey, you got to talk to us. And I've been considering putting a comment in, because I think you can still make comments, that how can you include something like this without enlarging your affected area?
Yeah.
I think they're totally out of line.
Yeah, so I got my comments in, but I have no reply at all. I mean, the comments are in, but it's just like went to some dead box. I did several of them because I kept thinking of things. Wait a minute.
Well, I'd like to motion that we propose to town council that we pursue the agriculture protection.
Second.
Okay, so we recommend to town council.
Okay.
It'll be back on your agenda next month.
Okay, and who's seconded?
Okay. Call for the vote.
Grandpa.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McKim, yes.
Horner, yes.
Springer, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. Is there anyone that would like to present that to the council? I'm willing to do it. If someone else wanted to do it.
No,
you have the most knowledge right now.
Hasn't hit their radar yet, other than the meeting minutes from last time.
I've talked to a couple of council members, and the response has been pretty positive so far.
It seems like anything that we can do to protect our rural environment is a good thing, because I think most people want that, that people can have options to come and live. They hear they can go live in a condo or whatever. It's good that people have options. If you want to live in rural environment, here we are.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to keep your land on greenbelt, you need to farm it.
Yep.
So I don't want to be limited to say, well, I really can't farm my land, so now I lose my greenbelt exemption.
And they've got the urban farming now option, and which helps people like me, because I only have 5.69 acres, so I didn't qualify for Greenbelt, because I'm not.
So
acres for your house, that puts me at 4.69. Oh, there's smart people up there. I'm not one of them. But the urban has really benefited me for property taxes. Well, I think people in Daniel should know that. I mean, cut them in half.
Yeah.
And the ag protection zone or area should help with urban farming, too, allow you to
it
do
would.
What you need.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know how many of you have read the 82114, the right to farm regulations in the town. The town of Daniel has areas that had traditionally been used for agriculture. Town of Daniel legislative body places high value on protection and preservation of agricultural land for the residents who wish to continue agricultural practices. Developments which border agriculture areas shall have additional requirements imposed on the developer in the form of an analysis to be reviewed and implemented as part of the development process. The impact analysis shall be used to determine the impact of associated farming or livestock operations affected by the development and to mitigate conflicts that may occur with the agricultural operation. So I think that plays right into what...
It does, but that's never been done, has it?
I don't know. I don't think we were required that.
County does. If you want to build a development...
Well, that came from county code.
You've got to put up a fence on the other side that will keep the cows in.
Yeah, we do have the fencing regulation that says...
It's on the next page, I just saw.
That came from county code.
But I think that this thing plays right in line with that.
Yeah.
And it certainly talks in the general plan to those.
Well, and it defines the area where this doesn't define where it is.
Right.
So, okay. Well, I'll plan on going to council meeting. And...
Thank you.
Present that. And bring some feedback back. Okay, let's move to item six, which is the planner report.
In your packet?
Yep.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Question?
What does BH stand for? Is it
Big Hollow.
No.
Code. Big Hollow. I'm glad when you asked me a question.
I received a check from the mobile home park and from Topwell, just so you know.
Okay. Did you let them
200 know? Each.
You let Amelia know?
They came from Amelia.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I actually physically have those in hand.
Awesome.
That's going to be the new...
That was the mayor's office, but it got moved.
It's
good.
Oh my gosh.
Did you get my text on that?
Byron, my face was so red.
She searched her file
for the letter. You almost heard language that Eric hears on a regular basis.
He doesn't know what happened.
He called me and he said, do you need any help? Okay, he's my home teacher. Do you need any help moving your office? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I didn't feel well that day, so I was kind of groggy anyway. And he goes, yeah, now you're moving to that new mobile office. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, yeah, you know, that motorhome that's parked right across from the mayor's. They thought that would be really, really convenient for you, you know, to meet with the mayor. And I was just like, and he goes, you need to call Scott and tell him. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. And I did tell him, but I waited till we were in a meeting. So,
a question, Eric, on the not particular, kind of about the planning report. What are the setbacks on next to lots on the agricultural permits?
So like it depends.
50
on
feet depends if there's animals.
Depends on if you have animals, and it's not only on your lot. It's on site and off site. So if somebody else's home is 20 feet off the fence line, you can't put your barn within 100 feet of that.
Is it anything to do with the home or just the land in general?
Property. Yeah, if you can't, don't, no, not property.
See, I read it and I was confused.
Right, yeah.
So if your house is, it's the back of the property, there's only a pasture there, how close can the agricultural building be to someone else's property? 50 feet or 30?
50 feet if it has animals.
50 if it has animals.
To the property or to a dwelling?
To the property. It's 100 foot from the dwelling. From the dwelling.
Okay, because I was thrown off by that, and I read it a couple
right.
times.
They're not going to allow you to put yours so close that you put animals in and it affects your neighbor's property. Yeah. You're going to have that 50 foot. A normal one would be 30 foot as a rear setback. This increases that to 50 feet if you have animals.
But
so that you're keeping that.
So it's 30 feet if it's just an agricultural building.
Right.
To your property line.
Yeah. But if you decide to get a building permit, you can go 12 feet from your property line.
On the side.
On the side.
That's the sides. Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about the rear.
Okay.
I just see all this and it's not, so I'm trying to educate myself because I read the code and I'm like, it didn't make any sense to me. So it's 30 feet from the back of the property.
You made me feel bad because it makes sense to me.
I read it about five times. I'm like, wait a minute.
If I want to put a barn for my hay, just a three-sided barn for my hay, park my tractor under, on myself.
But that's the side.
What's the setback?
Side?
To the fence.
Yeah, it's sides, it's on the side?
Yeah.
It's 12 feet.
So the side is 12 feet. So on my back, it's 30 feet.
30 feet.
Well, it's not happened, so I just wanted, I wanted to verify.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Unless you're putting animals in them.
There's animals in there, there's pigs.
So animals, how close to the house?
No, not the house, to your property.
100 feet.
100 feet to a house.
To a house.
Neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Or your house.
No, either.
No, from your barn.
To any house.
Any house, any.
Any house is 100, but if it's just a pasture, mine's just a pasture in the back of my property, but they're butted up against me.
So what?
And it's 10 feet. And so then I'm like, how does this happen?
Today and somebody wants to build a house tomorrow.
That's what I was gonna say, is you stick their house right next to the property line, all of a sudden, they're not 100 anymore, but they were there first with their animals.
If the barn was there, then that's, it's already on site.
Then that stands and, but you can still put your house there?
Yeah.
You can put your house.
But don't complain about it.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, like, yeah.
You can be 30 feet from the pig pen then, but you didn't, so.
But it's your, yeah, you knew it was there when you went in.
Pig stink. And they were added after the fact.
He's calmed down just a lot, I've heard.
To my property.
I've noticed that.
They're up and running.
Thank you for clarifying.
Anything else?
The only.
You can see it, it's not that.
The only thing to, for the engineer's report, when I talked to Amelia, was just to let you know that we are exploring grants. We were actually supposed to meet, the gal's name is Nancy O'Toole, who is with MAG, that's helping us with the grants, and we were supposed to meet Monday, but there was a snafu that it wasn't gonna be, it was gonna be a 50-50 grant, the Water Smart, so she's looking into other options, so we're tackling that, because we already turned down a 50-50 grant. We can't do 50-50 on a $6 million project.
$600,000 and $3 million.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so that was all that she wanted to know.
All right, we need to look at minutes from last month.
Kip, I had your name spelled wrong, so I hope I corrected all of that.
You know, I got pretty thick skin, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, it's just the A's and the E's.
I didn't have anything, did anyone else have any changes?
No.
No.
Accept the motion?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
I didn't catch you made the motion. Okay, Kip, okay, who seconded?
Okay, motion carries. On to the next agenda item.
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay, is there a second?
McGinn, second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Warner, yes.
Thank you.
Benny, yes.
Meeting's ending at 8:39.